I want to read just a few verses of Scripture before we introduce Brother Gary. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's remain seated as we read. I'll read verses 12 through 16. Paul's testimony. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I didn't write those words, but I claim those words as my own in many respects tonight. I can't begin to tell you what a debt of gratitude I feel to the Lord. When the Lord Jesus saved my soul, there was a resurrection in my life. New life in Christ. And I gave myself to the service of the Lord for the rest of my days. I don't believe I would have been saved if I hadn't met Brother Gary Lappridge. I was raised in a parsonage. Attended church all of my life. But I was hardened to the things of the Lord. I was interested in pursuing my military career, finding security and satisfaction in what I was doing. And when I met this brother, I met a man who had a life that testified of the truth he shared with me from the Word of God. That's an unanswerable argument. A testimony of a changed life. There's nothing you can say to argue with that. And I so appreciate the way he did things and the way he helped me. It's been my opportunity and privilege to take our family on vacations to a number of places over the last several years to meet with the Lappriches in different places. They've come to South Carolina a few times. We've gone to Michigan a few times. 3 or 4 years ago, we met in the middle. Traveled around Kentucky and went to state parks there and camped and enjoyed things. There's no way I can begin to convey the depth of love that God has given me for the man that led me to Jesus Christ. Oh, where would I be today? I thank the Lord for him. Whenever I introduce him to people, they say, "Are you a pastor?" I don't know why it is that we think that only pastors can lead people to Christ. Brother Gary is not a pastor. He's a layman. He returned after his military service to the same job that he had before he went into service. So, Brother Gary, you come, introduce your family, give us your word of testimony, and let us together tonight share with you our story of how God used this man to lead me to Christ. Brother Gary.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being with you all today. I just got to say praise the Lord. I think I forget the one time that my wife went to a camp, and this was, I think, Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And you know, that's such a wonderful and precious verse. And I'm a little nervous tonight, so just don't mind me. I have an opportunity to introduce my family here, and I'd like to introduce my Grandma T. Patty. We all call her Grandma T. Patty, even the Vaughns. My wonderful wife, Dara. My first daughter, Kimberly, and my second daughter, Tara Ann. And I really appreciate my family. And my second family there is the Vaughns. And they're wonderful and precious people. You just don't realize how much their entire family is in the ministry. I mean, totally in the ministry, night and day. You just don't understand it and realize it unless you become a pastor in his family. But I thank the Lord for those folks and the hospitality that they continually show us, and the fact that the graciousness that they convey to you folks. I want to mention one thing just before I start in. His idea of vacation is preach. Charge. He doesn't take just a vacation. He takes a preaching vacation, I guess. Okay, it's a pleasure being with you folks. You really treated us kindly. Your weather has been a pleasant change from that of Michigan. I'd like to just start out saying that I'm just an old country boy right now, a nervous country boy, so just bear with me. When I was a young teenager, I had been brought up in somewhat of a formal type home, formal type religion, and I was not saved. And you think you're saved, you are secure in your religion, but you're not saved. I met my wife at an early and young age, and her folks were Baptist, and you know, praise the Lord for Baptist girls. Aren't they the best type of girls? Yeah. Okay. Now, she wanted to go to the Bible club and that, and I thought, well, you know what? I was an impressionable young man, and I thought I could impress her if I went to the Bible club with her. So I went to the Bible club that they had at the school then. You know, praise the Lord that they did have them then. And through the ministry of the man that had the Bible club, through my wife's testimony, and through hearing the word from evangelists, I became saved. I accepted Jesus Christ one night in my bedroom, knowing that I did not have a way to heaven because I've not done anything in and within myself to deserve a place in heaven. Never forget the one time that my wife went to a camp, and this was a testimony that she gave to me. And she came home from camp that summer, and she started telling me some of the things that happened on that camp. And I knew there was something unusual. The way she was acting was a little bit funny. And then she told me that she was saved. She had gotten saved. And I remember distinctly thinking, man, I'm glad that she didn't drown. That would be terrible as my girlfriend. I didn't comprehend what saved meant at that time. It was a shame. We kept dating after I was saved, and eventually we decided that God would have us to get married, or at least we thought we wanted to get married, and I think God blessed us real good. And it was approaching the time that we were supposed to get married, and things were going great, and only to find out that the church that she had been attending to, and a church that gave me the first Bible gospel message, that I thought, man, isn't this extraordinary? They actually go to the Bible, they teach you the Bible, they show you what the Bible means, and they explain all this sort of stuff. And I thought, man, that's great. And something ruined it for us, a fight between the pastor and the deacons, which led to the resignation of that pastor in that church. And oh, I think that's so sad. And now I look at that church, and the church isn't doing anything. But praise the Lord, many years ago, they started a missionary church in Bridgeport, Michigan, which we now attend. And we've got a beautiful 1,000-seat auditorium. We're probably running about 1,000 people with our bus people, and just wonderfully seeing people saved and all. And we see here an opportunity and a chance to, you know, help and support your pastor and do it in any way you can. After we got married, we see that the direction of that church was it just was not receiving the blessing that God had placed on that church at one time. So we moved to a liberal Baptist church. you know what? The Lord had a better plan and opportunity to me. It only took the United States Air Force to move me away from Saginaw, Michigan, and get me into a better church. I was supposed to go to Thailand. I was on schedule to be going to the first rotation that our unit would be going to in Thailand. And I said, oh, Lord, hey, I don't want to go to Thailand. I'll tell you what. You ever dicker with the Lord? Yeah. Okay. And I said, hey, if you let me get out of this rotation, the Lord, I'll go to the soul winning classes. And I'll be, but it wasn't very long down the road, and they took me off the rotation to go to Thailand. And I said, man, praise the Lord, isn't that great? And it was coming time to go to the soul winning classes that the pastor started. And I wasn't very enthusiastic. I got cold feet. But due to the pastor encouraging us to go to the soul winning classes, we went to soul winning classes and learned some of the basics about soul winning. And I had an opportunity to share my faith with people around the community. And it wasn't but, oh, maybe 8-9 months down the road, and about the third rotation to Thailand, that I did not have an opportunity to stay home. And we prayed about it, and I didn't want to go. It wasn't the place I wanted to go, but the Lord had plans for my life, about my life and things to come into the future. And on that third rotation, God said, it's your turn to go. I have a special purpose for you.
One of the things that you and I should be remembering here on this Easter Sunday as we think about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is that every born-again believer also has a testimony of resurrection in his life. And we need to be telling others about what the Lord has done for us. In the verses that we read together this evening at the beginning of this testimony, we heard here about Paul's testimony, that he rejoiced that the Lord had counted him faithful and enabled him to be in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly in unbelief. And those statements parallel my own testimony, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for what he's done. I'm thankful to the Lord for Brother Gary, for the influence that he had in my life, and the fact that he discipled me and taught me the Word of God and helped me and loved me, and that he has retained that commitment to me over these years. Spurgeon said, dear, very dear to us must ever be the hands that helped us out of the horrible pit. And while we ascribe all the glory to the God of grace, we cannot but love most affectionately the instrument whom he sent to be the means of our deliverance. Isn't that a precious truth? I don't know how many of you have contact on a regular basis with a person that won you to Christ, but you've got to understand the change that occurred in my life when I came to know the Lord. I don't like to spend a great deal of time talking about my former days, and it's not my purpose tonight, nor intention, to talk and glorify sin in any way. But I know that the Lord saved me from a life of destruction, a life of waste, a life of selfishness, a life of sin. Paul said in verse 12 of 1 Timothy 1, who hath enabled me? The Lord enabled me. As I look back at the opportunities that the Lord's given me, both to witness and to preach and to teach and to win folks to Christ and to encourage others to go win folks to Christ, truly, we can say, the Lord hath enabled me. The Lord enabled Brother Gary to witness to me and to help me and a number of other men come to Jesus Christ. Not only that year we were in Thailand, but since then. We thank the Lord for that. There were two things that the Lord did for Paul in enabling him. He put him into the ministry. It says, and the reason he did that was because he counted him faithful. Now, sometimes when we use the word faithful, we refer to faithfulness as though it means steadfastness, as though it means the ability to stay by the stuff, the ability to do what's right day in and day out. And the word faithful does mean that. But the word faithful in the Bible primarily means full of faith. the reason the Lord put Paul in the ministry was because he was full of faith. And I believe the reason that God called me into the ministry is because I believed the Word of God. I knew when I began to hear the Bible, and when these fellows began to pray for me, and they began to love me and patiently listen to my sarcastic responses, I knew that if this book were true, nothing else on the face of the earth really mattered. I knew that I was going to have to spend my whole life telling other people what they were telling me was in this book. If this was true, how could we spend our lives pursuing any other career? If this was true, how could we give ourselves to just pleasure and enjoyment in life? How could we begin to see a country as anything else except a population of people that needed Jesus Christ? If this book is true, it's all that matters in all of life. And God began to teach us from the very first day of our salvation that all of life is a circumstance in which to glorify the Lord. The day after I trusted Christ as my Savior, I went to bed that night praying. I woke up that next day praying. I didn't have a charismatic experience. I did want to go to the base chapel every time the doors were open and hear all the preaching of the Bible that I could. And there was one night when the Pentecostal fellows met and they did speak in tongues. And I figured, well, since this is the smallest group, logic tells you that they're probably the most serious and they're willing to come an extra night, so this must be right. I tried to get it and it didn't work. And I figured that, if honest people aren't going to be able to have this thing, and this is a blessing from the Lord, something's wrong somewhere. And that's when Gary said, let's have a Bible study. Just exactly the answer that we needed. Took me right back to the Word of God. Put us right back in 1 Corinthians. And we began to see. He told me the other day that that just before he'd come to Thailand, that their church had studied 1 Corinthians. And God had prepared him just to lead us through that Bible study. Out of that Bible study grew another Bible study in which a number of people were saved. And from that one, we started one when we got back to the States in the Airman's Club there at Myrtle Beach, and a number of people were saved there. And God began to use the personal testimony. It was just a few weeks after I trusted Christ that the Lord enabled me to win my first soul to Jesus. I didn't know enough Bible to win a person, or I didn't know where to find it, let's put it that way. But I gave my own personal testimony. In fact, the Lord gave me my first witnessing opportunity within just a few days after I got saved. I'm ashamed to admit, before I was saved, I used tobacco. And a fellow came up to me and asked me if I had something to smoke. And I said, no, I don't. He said, I haven't seen you smoking lately. He said, what happened to you? I'd never witnessed before that day. I hadn't told anybody about Christ. And I said, I quit. And as soon as I said I quit, I knew I couldn't quit with my testimony. I said, I quit because I got saved. You did what? I got saved. I'm a Christian. And the Lord began to put me in situations where I could testify to other men and see them come to Christ also. And so the Lord put this testimony and this opportunity to witness right on us. He enabled us, put us into the ministry because we were full of faith, because we believed. And then he forgave me. Paul said in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I hadn't thought for a long time until I began to think about this testimony tonight about an experience that I had when I first went to Korea. When I went over there, I traveled on the airplane with a fella from somewhere out west, and he was stationed at the same place that I was, and he became my roommate when we first got out there. And he was a Christian. I had forgotten all about this. He had a Bible, had a picture of his wife, and all the things that normal conservative men would have. And here I was having to spend a year in that place and figured I would just get as much out of it as I could. And after just two or three days, he got transferred to another base about 40 miles away. And I remember at the time how glad I was that this religious guy was out of my room. And then one time standing by that bus station, a fellow came up to me and asked me if I was a Christian. His words were, are you a Christian? He was from the Servicemen Center that's led by a Bob Jones graduate. I had no idea of that at the time. It was about two blocks from that picture that you saw. And, of course, my answer to him was, yes, I'm a Christian. My dad's a preacher. And he bought it and left me alone. But beyond that, there was no real Christian witness, just a life of sin, a life of selfishness. My wife and I were away from each other. was a very difficult time. Our two oldest children were just very little at the time. But I think about this verse, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Whenever we get in discussions about religion, my attitude at the time was making fun, ridiculing, trying to humiliate. In fact, the night that Gus first started to witness to me, he gave me a gospel tract. I took it for one reason and one reason alone. I wanted to make fun of him. And while I was reading it, I thought of all the smart-aleck remarks that I wanted to make to him. But the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and told me that what I was reading was true. And I couldn't do anything about it. That night I acknowledged and realized that God is real, that the Word of God was true. And I began a struggle for several days after that to try to clean my life up and make myself somehow acceptable to the Lord. I tried not to be a blasphemer. I tried not to be injurious. I tried not to hinder or heckle other Christian people as much as possible. But it was about a month later when Gary took me down to the mission home when I fully understood that salvation was of the Lord and that I just needed to turn my life completely over to Christ and trust Him to save me. He forgave me. There's a verse of Scripture where the Lord Jesus was speaking to one Simon the Pharisee. And Simon couldn't understand the love of some of the low-class people for Jesus Christ. I preached on that verse. That was the Lord's reply to Simon in the first opportunity that I had to preach after I came back to the States. He said, Simon, a certain man had two debtors. The one owed him 5 pence and the other owed him 50. And they both had nothing to pay, and he frankly forgave them both. Now, which do you suppose will love him the most? And Simon the Pharisee said, I suppose him to whom he forgave the most. And the Lord said, Thou hast rightly said. My friend, the reason that I love the Lord tonight, and the reason I want to give all that I can to His service, is because I know what God has forgiven me of. I know what I would be apart from the grace of God. And I don't stand here tonight and say to you, I know what I was. I say, I know what I am. Because of what I did before I was saved, and what I would do now if left to myself. But for the grace of God, all of us tonight would be blasphemers, persecutors, injurious. We deserve to be in hell. But the mercy of God was exceeding abundant with grace and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful tonight that Jesus saved your soul? If you know Christ as your Savior, you ought to have a new life. Honestly, I can't remember very many times since I've been saved when I wanted to throw in the towel. Now, there have been some times when I got down and I got a little discouraged and I got frustrated. But ever since I've been saved, I've just wanted to have every opportunity I possibly could to serve the Lord, to do whatever I could to bring honor to the Lord because of His goodness to me and because of what He did for me. I lived 25 years of my life for myself. I couldn't begin to repay the Lord for what He's done for me in saving me. My personal testimony is that the Lord saved me in spite of myself. Honestly. One of the reasons that I admire Gary and appreciate him so much is because of his obedience to the Lord and his courage in witnessing to me about the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest problems that we as fundamental Christians have today is we're too timid to tell people about Christ. If you had known me, if most of you had known me before I got saved and the smart-aleck way I had of putting people down and the way I responded to people that talked about the Lord, most of the people in this room would never have given me the time of day about spiritual things. Maybe you'd have tried it one time, but I had been raised in a parsonage. I had been raised in church. I knew the language. I knew the terminology. I had all the put-downs prepared. But I had no way of dealing with the compassion and consistency of Brother Gary Lappridge's life. I had no argument for it. I lied to him when he first asked me if I was a Christian. And the Lord convicted me about that lie. He was reading his Bible when I first met him. I was reading a book and writing my wife a letter. And there in the USO, I looked across the table and there he sat reading a book. I said, well, maybe this fellow's going to school too. Maybe we can get acquainted. And I walked over and said, what are you reading? And as soon as I said it, I knew I'd gotten myself in trouble. He said, this is great. This is really good. It was the Bible. And I said, oh, really? And he said, are you a Christian? Or I said, I don't know how we got into it, but somehow he asked me, are you a Christian? And I used my common answer, oh, yes, my dad's a preacher. I'd said that before, but it had never really bothered me. But all that evening and the next day, I thought, you know, that fellow was sincere. He was nice to me. He wasn't trying to shove his religion down my throat. I shouldn't have lied to him. I ought to at least be honest enough about it. And the next day I saw him in there again. And I went up to him and I said, you know, I wasn't honest with you yesterday. You asked me if I was a Christian and I told you yes. But I'm not and I don't want to be. But I felt like the least I could do was respect you enough to be honest with you. And his response was so gracious and so precious. And as he talked with me there and still remained my friend, he didn't get angry. He didn't rebuke me. He just loved me and introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean to lift up Brother Gary tonight. I know that's not his desire and it's not mine. But one of the reasons that I was able to see Jesus Christ was because I could see Christ in him. And I can honestly say I'd known a lot of people that said they believed the book. I'd met a lot of people that said they knew the gospel. But I hadn't met anybody before I met him that I felt like could really understand me and what I was going through, who really seemed to know the Lord. But here was a man that the Lord lived in, and I could see the face of Jesus in his face and the sweet, forgiving smile of Jesus in his face and feel his love coming from Brother Gary. And it was because of that that my old stony heart was tenderized and I was broken down and brought to a place where I could be saved. He forgave me. I obtained mercy because his grace was exceeding abundant in grace and love. And the final thing that Paul says here in verse 15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Friend, Jesus saved my soul. I didn't just get religion when I was in Thailand. Religion wears off. I didn't just get excited about something. I had other things to be excited about. I had my plans all made. I had my career mapped out. I was all ready, as soon as I got back from Thailand, to get into a program that had been designed several years before by the Air Force, where I would be on inactive duty for a while, going to college till I finished my degree. I'd come back in after 2 years as a second lieutenant and be a pilot, which is what I lived for and what I wanted to do. I would retire at the age of 40 and settle down and write books and enjoy myself, my family, and do what I wanted to do. Had it all planned out. The Lord had some other plans. What happened to me in Thailand was not just getting religion. It was not just subscribing to some creed. I got born again. I was raised out of the grave of my sin, and God gave me a new life. There was such a drastic, and I know some of you have been saved, and you haven't had a drastic change. You don't have to have a drastic change to be saved. Unless you've had a drastic degree of sin, you won't have a drastic change. Your experience of repentance will be proportionate to your experience of sin. But because of the fact that I was a wicked, selfish person, and because of the fact that I was concerned only about me and what I could get out of life, I didn't even know how to love my family. They were just something else to make me happy, you see. Because the Lord changed all that, and because God gave me a new attitude, it was so drastic and so instantaneous and so, frankly, so far permanent in the way that I was living. It was unbelievable. The people that knew me were amazed at the difference. I wrote home to my wife, praising the Lord, glorifying the Lord Jesus. Every other word was a praise the Lord type phrase. Ask her to send me my Bible. I didn't hear from her for 2 weeks. Who is this writing my letters today? What has happened to him? She went to see the base chaplain to get some counsel to find out what had happened. What an opportunity he missed. He said, well, you know, sometimes when fellows get away from home like that, they need something to help them and to encourage them a little bit. And maybe, you know, this religious activity that's going on over there is something that will encourage him and kind of give him a sense of stability while he's away from his family and all this kind of psychological mumbo jumbo. That fellow needed to be born again. That was his problem. We had a chaplain who was saved, who gave invitations. He asked us to stand. In fact, when he gave the invitation, he said, if you want to receive Jesus Christ right now, stand to your feet. Everybody else was seated. He'd tell everybody to stand to their feet. That is not an easy thing to do. And the fellows that stood kept standing for the Lord, generally. Then there was another fellow who was a compromiser and sort of weak-kneed. He preached the gospel once in a while, but he didn't do anything about it after he'd preached it. And then there was a total blasphemer over there, a cigarette-smoking, unbelieving minister who told us that he didn't believe in bloody religion, much to his shame. But it was through Gary's influence that I began to realize that just because a fellow called himself a Christian didn't mean he was one. I began to realize that just because a fellow was a minister didn't necessarily mean he spoke for God. I began to realize, as Gary led me through Bible studies day after day after day until we came home, that what really matters is what a man does with the Word of God, and whether he believes it, and whether he lives it, and whether he preaches it to others or not. And I thank the Lord that I had a fellow lead me to Christ who believed the Word of God. The Lord saved me. It says, this is a faithful saying. You know what that means? That means, this is a good preaching text, Timothy. This is a faithful saying. This right here will preach. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. We've taken every opportunity to proclaim that. A few years ago on our Christmas card, as you'll recall, we put a picture of our family in the inside of it. And on the outside, we put, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And one of the relatives, the father of one of our relatives, distant relatives, said, I suppose that he thinks I'm a sinner when they got that card. No, whether or not you're a sinner is not the point. The fact that Jesus Christ came to save you and me and everybody else too, that's the point. And that's what we live for. He gives us the purpose of life and the purpose of a testimony here in this last verse. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern, a testimony to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The power of a personal testimony, there's nothing like it. As you watch these slides, and as you heard Brother Gary testify tonight, and as you've heard some of these comments about how the Lord saved me, one of the things that you've been thinking while we've been sharing these things tonight is, well, you know, I had an experience like that. Well, now that's kind of like what happened to me. Why, yes, I remember, and you've been thinking about things in your own testimony tonight, haven't you? You see, one testimony promotes another testimony, which ought to promote another testimony. Every person in here tonight who knows Jesus Christ as his Savior could stand and proclaim the gospel if he has believed it unto salvation. You could share the gospel in your own personal testimony. But sadly, one of the reasons that people never give verbal testimonies, especially in a church setting like this or in front of a group, is because they've never learned to live a life that is a testimony in front of their families, in front of their friends, and their co-workers, and others. Sure, we got ribbed a lot. We got teased a lot. We carried our Bibles everywhere we went over that base except out to the flight line. We'd go to lunch in our uniforms and carried our Bibles. I'm amazed we got away with it. It's probably against the regulations now. You'd be out of uniform or something. We'd get on the Bot bus and drive down to Karat City, sing hymns. He's got the whole world in his hands. And then we had a stanza. He's got the Bot bus, brothers, in his hands. We'd pull up in front of the bars in downtown Karat, and all the drunks would come out of the bars, and we'd be out there singing, he's got the Bot bus, brothers, in his hands. And they'd walk up the bus, turn around, and wait for the next bus. We had a lot of unusual and exciting experiences. And all since then, there's been a lot of similar things go on. But you know, you ought to have a testimony. You ought to be able to tell folks what's happened to you. You ought to be able to see the power of God flowing through you. Let me challenge you tonight. You never know who you're going to lead to Christ. I stop and think about what God's doing through Faith Baptist Church right now. And honestly, I'm always a little hesitant to say things like this because I don't want anybody to get the idea that I'm trying to say that we have done anything or that I have done anything here. God has done everything that has been done at Faith Baptist Church. But you think about that for a few moments. About a little church in a little metal building in Pole Mill, discouraged, defeated, unable to pay its bills, 7.5 years ago when God called me here to be the pastor. Some 45 people, including all the kids in the nursery. And now look what God's given us. A great and healthy congregation of soul-winning Christians who are going to be going all over the world practically, proclaiming their salvation, people who are reaching out into the community, the Hidden Treasure Christian School, and all the other dozens and dozens of people who have been members of this church who are serving the Lord faithfully in different parts of the country tonight. All of that because one day a brother was faithful. A brother had a testimony, a life to back up a message, and he led a preacher to Jesus Christ. He didn't know he was a preacher at the time. And you have no idea who's watching you. You have no idea who's listening to you. You have no idea of the potential, Sunday school teachers, of those little children that sit in front of you every Sunday morning. You have no idea but what the next D.L. Moody may be in your class right now. You have no idea but what the greatest evangelist that's ever lived may be under the sound of your voice tonight. Moms and dads, there may be someone living in your home, one of your own children who are watching you that might do greater things for God than anyone has ever done before. You have no idea. It's our responsibility to be faithful, to be truthful, to do that which God has commanded us to do, and to leave the results with the Lord. And when we'll do just that, there's no telling where the testimony might end, no telling where it might reach. What a wonderful opportunity to testify of what God has done for us. Let's pray.